Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're closing out our series today. Just walk across the room. How many of you have enjoyed this series? Has it been helpful for you? Thank you for the five of you that have appreciated it, the others of you. It's all right. We'll trust that the Holy Spirit will minister to you through this one. I'm going to be closing out our series, Walk Towards a Friend. Everybody say, Walk Towards a Friend. Now, turn to three people around you and tell them, I'm walking towards you. Not with the scary voice, not with the, I'm walking towards you. I'm walking away from you, somebody said. Can I get you to stand to your feet for reverence towards the Word of God? What we're going to actually do today is we're going to go through the book of Proverbs, highlighting all the verses in Proverbs about friendship. How about that? I think that's a good way to look at friendship, by looking at the wisest person in the world apart from Jesus Christ himself, King Solomon, looking at what he has to say about friendship. So we're going to go through these verses. I'm going to flash them up on the screen. And as we go through them, I'll invite you to recite or read the verses. Let's all read together. A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have to fill an ancient. That one always cracks me up. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Father, bless the reading of your holy word. Thank you, Lord God, that you're illuminating your word to us, Lord God. We thank you for just the opportunity to enter into friendships. We thank you, Lord, that you call us friend in your ushering of us as your friends. You called us friends from the cross, laying your life down for us. In Jesus' name, amen. This whole series has been talking about the power of personal evangelism, and what we wanted to do is demystify evangelism, because in some cultures or in some church cultures, the word evangelism sometimes is allocated towards some specialist people. Like, you're an evangelist, I'm not, so you're the one that's going to do all the evangelism. I'll pray for you. Right, I'll pray, you know, like there's pray and then there's pray for you, you know, like that's more spiritual. It's two syllables, pray. I will pray for you as you go in about your evangelism. But what we've hopefully been able to establish over the last 5 weeks is that God calls all of us in this room to be ministers of reconciliation. He calls all of us to do the work of the evangelist. We're all called to carry the gospel wherever we go. It's just the ease of how we do it, because a lot of times we think that we have to use a specific tool, and we've been talking about the power of utilizing your own story, your testimony, and even last week we were talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, how some people think it's more about the flow diagram of evangelism than it is by being led by the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit in evangelism and being led by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. And I'm here to tell you today that as all of us are called to be evangelists, all you have to do is carry the message. Just carry the gospel with you and be led by the Spirit as to how God opens up opportunities for you to share the gospel. Can I get an amen? That's a good opportunity to say amen right there. So what I'm hopefully doing is demystifying evangelism over the last 5 weeks, so that hopefully you see, number one, you're all called to do it. We're all called to evangelize, but it's not as much the task as much as it is internalizing the work of the gospel in you so that it works through you towards other people. That's what evangelism is, because you are a walking testament of the power of the gospel if you are a follower of Christ. Now, today, I'm going to be talking about the unique aspects of friendship. There is a uniqueness of friendship. I'm going to be talking about the discovery of friendship. How do we discover friendship and the power of friendship in evangelism? Also going to be talking about the forging of friendship. We're going to look at the four qualities that we find within these verses in Proverbs about forging relationships, how to establish God-shaped relationships and friendships and the ones you currently have, and how to engage in God-centered friendships with those who are lost and those who don't know Christ. And we're going to be looking at what's required in these things. And then lastly, of course, the power of friendship, looking at the model of Jesus Christ as the model for friendship. Firstly, the uniqueness of friendship. Now, how many of you know that friendship in and of itself is a very different relationship to most other relationships? And if you look at the different primary relationships or what takes precedence in different societies here in the world, whether it's in the West, in the East, whether you're a conservative or a liberal, there are other relationships that kind of take primary precedence over friendship. Friendship kind of falls into second place in most instances. What do I mean by that? Well, let me just say this firstly. In the Hebrew culture of which Solomon is writing most of this, these proverbs, or all of these proverbs, he's saying here, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. There's a special type of friendship that goes beyond just casual acquaintance and goes into entering into a familial or a family-centered type of relationship. And now, I don't know about you, but there may be people in this room that have friends that are closer than their own biological brothers and sisters. But if you understand Hebrew culture at the time, the family was the center of what a lot of the was the central relationship of all, of which everything else operated. In Western society, it may be different. I think it's more the romantic relationship or the relationship that is centered around maybe a husband and a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. That sort of love type of relationship becomes the more primary relationship. And then later on in your life, it becomes being more parental. But this whole aspect of friendship kind of takes a secondary role as opposed to these different relationships. For instance, let me just clarify this a bit more. In today's society, and if you're in a more conservative background, the familial or the family relationship becomes the most primary relationship of which every part of society, every part of the rest of your life flows. If you're in more of a Western society, it's more romantic relationships takes the precedence, and then everything else. Because, I mean, there is a place for all of this. If without this type of relationship, we would not be born. And then as we are born and as we grow in the vicinity of familial relationships. But those types of relationships are essential for our nurturing and for our growing. To be born out of a relationship between a husband and wife is God's ideal, and then to grow up in the familial relationship. Are you with me today? So these relationships take more precedence over the friendship. The friendship relationship is kind of not necessary. It's optional. And so when the Bible says that there is a type of friend that sticks closer than a brother, it's speaking very specific to a type of friendship, a God-centered friendship. Because in no matter what sphere of society you're in, friendship usually takes second or even third precedence as opposed to these relationships I've mentioned. For instance, have you ever thought about, you know, like the magazines that you might read? I don't know what magazines there are. The ones that, you know, have what's the latest, who the latest Kardashian person is dating, whoever. It's never asking who's their best friend. It's always asking who they're dating or who they broke up with, right? It's always with regards to that type of relationship. It's not like who is Kim Kardashian's covenant friendship with, because world is not as that magazine would sell 6 copies. You know, most of them would be bought by somebody named Kardashian, because there's not as much interest in it. But and it shows how much weight society places on this type of relationship. Let me give it to you even further. If you look at blockbuster movies, you can count on maybe 2 hands the number of movies that are actual major blockbusters that are based on friendship. The only one that comes to mind for me is, of course, Lord of the Rings, which even in the writing of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, J.R. Tolkien writes the trilogy, and the main objective of the trilogy is obviously this friendship, this beautiful friendship that Sam and Frodo have, Frodo and Sam have, in their pursuit of getting rid of the ring, the precious, in their pursuit. But did you notice that still, especially in the second and third movies, this romantic relationship between Aragorn and what's her name, Steve Tyler's daughter. It takes precedence, and like somehow finds its way to the center of this movie. If you read the actual books, there are books called Lord of the Rings. If you read the actual books, that relationship is in the appendices at the end of the third part of the trilogy. It's not even a major part of the story if you read the books. But because we live in the movies came out in the earlier part of this century, we have to somehow graduate that part of the story and pull it into the middle and make it a bit more central. But why? Because that's what society values. And yet this is one of the most, if there is movies, usually the big movies, even the big trilogies have to always have some romantic thing happening or some family thing happening, whether it's Star Wars or The Godfather, family relationships, putting horses in. Anyway, don't watch it if you haven't seen it. But you know what I'm saying? Basically, my point is that friendships find themselves in society as secondary or even third place relationships as opposed to these types of relationships that we're seeing in the Bible. And so as we look at the Bible, what kind of relationship are we talking about when we talk about biblical friendship, building biblical friendship? Well, I'm glad you asked. C.S. Lewis wrote an awesome, awesome book called The Four Loves. It's actually a long essay. And in a part of it, he talks about one of the loves, which is philia, where we get the word Philadelphia from, the city of brotherly love. And it's a type of friendship type of love. And then talking and exposing about doing an exposition on this type of love, he wrote this: friendship is the least instinctive, organic, biological, the least necessary of all our loves. It has the least commerce with our physical system. There's nothing throaty about it, nothing that quickens the pulse or turns you red or pale. What he's basically saying is that friendship is basically optional at the start. And what we're talking about is the initiation, the initial part of friendship. Now, let me break this down a little bit more, because you'll often find that friendships start, and C.S. Lewis goes into this, friendships start where there is grounds for commonality. How many of you get creeped out if somebody was, if I was to come up to my brother Helios here and I was to say, I just want to be your friend, and that's our first time meeting? Helios will immediately, as he's about to do now, leave the building because it's creepy, right? We start a friendship, whether you're male or female, most definitely when you're male. I can't just go up to Norm or go up to Jay or any of the other brothers in here, go up to Renee and say, hey, I want to be your friend, and it's the first time we're meeting. There needs to be somehow an entry point where there's commonality, and then from that commonality we develop relationship, and then from there there's development of deeper friendship. Have you noticed that? Okay. And so it's important for you to find, if you are wanting to establish friendship, find areas of commonality where you can have conversation. And it's usually, I think about all the deep friendships that I have with different people. With the deep friendships that I have, they've always been initiated through the grounds for familiarity has been a distinctive type of music that we like. Many of you met my friend Mike, who was here. He's the tall, redheaded guy that was singing here about a couple of months ago. And he's one of our worship leaders in Singapore. But I remember when he moved from the States, having been a fresh graduate from Cornell in the States, and then he moved to Singapore, and he just happened to walk into our church. He heard me. I think that Sunday I was a bit adventurous and actually did a song with syncopation in it, because I'm in Singapore, and generally we like to clap like this on the one and the three, like, shine, Jesus, shine. No offense if you're Singaporean and listening to this podcast. But for me, we clap on the two and the four. What that means is, like, if the beat goes one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. Singaporeans like clap, two, clap, four, clap, two, clap, four. Where we grew up in Auckland is one, clap, two, clap, boom, boom, clap, boom, clap. You get what I mean? So I had to get used to, and they clap and then open their hands like. And so that particular Sunday, I happened to be adventurous, and I tried Lord, You Are Good. Ooh. And I did Lord, You Are Good. And he walked in the room, and he was like, wow, it's good to hear this music in Singapore. And so from that day, we met, and the rest of his history, he's become one of my best friends. But it started with a place of commonality where we liked the same music. And then from there, we became really, really good friends. I think about different friends that have similar cultural experiences. It's the natural reason why a lot of us gravitate naturally more around people that have a similar cultural experience to us. You know, if you're Pinoy here, you might like people that speak Tagalog. It's a lot easier to go deeper in friendship with people that have similar cultural experiences to you. And that's why, you know, in a church like Every Nation, I know it's a stretch, but we have to break out of our cultural the cultural barriers, and understanding that, you know, God's called us to make disciples of all nations. Same things for the Samoans in here. It's easy for us to talk about 90s R&B all day long and about how the Manu Samoa lost atrociously to Bianca's team, South Africa. Cha. But, you know, I'm here to tell you that we've got to cross these cultural lines, and it takes effort. So it takes effort to find those places of commonality, because it's not as easy as if we just rely on our natural leanings, which is, what's your preferences, right? What sports do you like? Do you like sports at all? What are your pastimes? And that's why, as a pastor, as your pastor, part of my job and part of what I do is study the culture of the times, so that I know how to engage evangelistically with people. It's not necessarily because I like that stuff, but it's so that I can find grounds of commonality for an entrance point towards a gospel-centered conversation. You with me? So that's why it's these sorts of things are optional, and you have to take the option. And that's why, because you know, and with regards to especially familial relationships, you can't necessarily choose your mother. It's not like you were born and looked at your mom and went, nah, I'll just wait. I've got better options. You know, you don't choose your parents. You're born into those relationships. But friendship is an option, but it's an option that God has called us as Christians to take. We're going to friend our way into reaching the city. That's basically what I'm saying. The discovery of friendship. Now, I'm going to put this, I'm going to break this down into four categories that cover these proverbs. And I love the way Tim Keller, it was actually, these aren't original with me. These are Timothy Keller's outlines with regards to the four natures of friendship, the four things, the four prerequisites, building blocks of biblical friendship according to Proverbs. And that's these, let me just read this. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I want one of those sorts of friends. I want to be that sort of friend. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. We'll break that down in a moment, but I did want to say this, you know, about sweetness. With regards to sweetness, during the time of Solomon's writing, there was no, they hadn't discovered sugar. There was no sweetener at the time. Everything that was sweet at the time had to be just discovered in its raw form. It was, you know, like whether there was fruit or sucrose from different fruit sources, but there was no manufacturing of sugar at the time. You don't sweeten anything. It's natural that friendship should be sweet in its counsel. And we'll break that down in just a moment, but what I wanted to cover with regards to the forging of friendship is these four things. Now, if you're taking notes, write these down. Four things with regards to the qualities of the forging of friendship. Number one is constancy. Number two, the carefulness. Number three, candor. That's why it's not original with me, because I never use the word candor, but there you go. It's a new word for you. It merely means truth-telling, telling the truth. And then fourthly, counsel. I'll read them one more time. Constancy, carefulness, candor, and counsel. Now let's break down these four qualities with the verses from Proverbs that we've read. Firstly, constancy. Well, constancy obviously comes from the word constant. Now, does that mean that you have to be present with your friend all the time? No, that's called psycho. And we have hospitals for that. I'm your friend, Pastor Nellison. I must stay with you forever. It's not what I mean. Let me just clarify that. What it means with regards to constancy is that your love is present at all times, okay? That no matter what, you're ride or die. I'm a ride for you. Got all the DMX songs starting to come out now. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It's in those hard times. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you get to times of hardship and pressure, that's when you find your friends, who your real friends are. It's funny because, like, of the friend songs that I can remember, I was trying to think about this, Norm, the other day. I was like, what songs do I know about friendship? There's hardly any. There's the Toy Story one. You got a friend in me. You know, I think that's a good picture of biblical friendship right there, Woody and Buzz Lightyear. You know, despite jealousy, despite circumstance, Woody was a true friend to the end. Even in Toy Story 3, when they held hands, they were about to go into the fire. Friend loves at all times. And I was just thinking about, okay, there's that song, then there was man, there was a I was just singing it. I know probably none of you in this room, probably except me and Norm, maybe Rosita, remember the song. There's a Jody Watley song called Friends back in the late 80s. I won't sing it for you because she's a girl and I'm a man and I don't dare to sing that range. And then TLC had a song. What about your friends who let you down? I was thinking, that's not a good song about friends. What, is there any other songs about friends? Oh. I'll be there for you. Get an umbrella, stand in the fountain. Here's the thing, right? The songs that are good about friendship, you actually have to tell people that you'll be there for them. You shouldn't have to tell a friend that, yeah, I'm going to be there for you. That's actually a good sign that they're not going to be there for you, right? I'm down for you. I'm going to be there for you. Like, a real friend just loves you. Like, you find out where that friend's at without them having to tell you. Because, you know, when the hardship comes, they're the one that's there without a phone call, without even being prompted. They're the ones that are there. So if you've got somebody saying, I'll be there for you, just know that their words, when it gets to the time of pressure, that's when you really discover the friends. Because friends are born for adversity. Nice. All right. Constancy. The friend loves at all times. Okay. Even in your worst situation, they love you. Literally, that's what I was trying to get at. That's why I love this verse, is that it doesn't mean that you have to be there all the time, but you have to be there all the time. What do I mean by that? It doesn't mean you have to be present, like in terms of physically there all the time, but your heart is so connected to that person that they know that you're there with them all the time. Does that make sense? So no matter what they go through, you're ride or die. Okay? Fast and Furious 8. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his full of you and hate you. So a good, and we'll get to this in a moment when we talk about just being conscious of the friendship and knowing how the ebbs and flows of friendship. Because the closer you get to a friend, the more you know how they flow. Like, now's a good time to be around them, and now's a good time to run for the hills. What's the deepest friendship you can experience? Obviously, it's marriage, right? And I know none of the husbands have experienced this because you're all godly men and you walk like Jesus, but let me just tell you that I have a friend who's a man, and he's a husband to a certain wife, and there are times that he has to go through, you know, like understanding the meaning of certain words, you know. Okay. What, like, okay can mean like five different things. You know, it depends on the tone. It's like, okay. 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 You know, it's like, how do you read that? Gosh, the woman, to understand, for my friend, to understand, there's a manual on understanding woman, and it's three times as thick as the Bible. I'm that's what my friend told me, so blame him. But what I'm saying is, like, you begin to understand the ebbs and the flows of your friend, because you know when it's a good time to be with them and be there for them. But how many of you have been around certain friends and you don't want them around? Just like, I know you love me. You love me too much. We'll get to that in just a second. Check this out. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's why the Bible talks about specifically there are friendships that are deeper than acquaintances. You may have many friends on Facebook. I have friends on my Facebook that I don't even know, you know. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then later on you find out, oh, this is what it means to block people, you know, because they... too friendly. But it's understanding that you're only going to have deep, deep friendships with a certain group of people, a specific group of people. And in the depth of those friendships, those are the friends that you will be yoked with. No matter where they walk, you'll walk with them. And that's why you have to choose your friends wisely. I know it's an old adage, but like, to understand a person, you understand them through knowing who their friends are. You can understand the person's destiny by looking at the friendships they keep. Show me a man's friends and I'll show you his destiny. 1 Corinthians talks about bad company corrupting good character. And there may be some of us in this room who are in deep friendships with people that are walking in a direction contrary to where the Holy Spirit wants you to walk. And today is the day for grace to be able to understand that friendship is not good for you. And I love you in saying that. But you've got to understand that you are yoked. What is a yoke? No, not what you had for breakfast this morning. But, you know, when you are oxen, if you can imagine two oxen, not that I look like an oxen, but two oxen, one oxen, me, and another oxen there, and we're yoked, meaning the wooden yoke that binds us together. No matter where this oxen goes, I am bound to that oxen. So if this oxen moves in this direction, then we are plowing in this direction. The reason for the yoke is so that you can plow in straight lines. But if one of the oxen goes in a contrary direction, then the other oxen is bound to go in that same direction because they are yoked together. And that's why 2 Corinthians 6 says, do not be yoked to unbelievers. There are specific friendships that God wants us to go deep with, but we have to choose those friendships wisely. Are you with me today? This is what I'm talking about. The second aspect of these friendships is carefulness. Everybody say carefulness. What I mean by carefulness, it's understanding the ebbs and flows of this friendship. For instance, you know, if I know, I'll just read this verse. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. How many of you are morning people? All right, my people. I used to be an evening person when I used to live in Singapore. Now I've become a morning person because the sun rises so early here. Oh my gosh. And not only that, you got magpies. You know, everywhere else the birds are like tweet, 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 tweet. And Queensland, quack, quack, quack. What sort of bird is that? Oh my gosh. Outside, I'm singing a song. You know, everybody's all the other places, you know, like at Disney, they're all sweet, singing sweet songs. You know, it makes it sound like, you know, Fiona on Shrek. Not over here, oh my gosh, all the birds sound like Jimmy Barnes, man. Like a working class man. Oh, 5 a.m, are you serious? God bless Queensland. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. Now, can you imagine if you're not a morning person, which I'm assuming the rest of you are evening people? Some of you may say, I'm not morning or evening. I'm kind of like 10 to 12 a.m. Everything else is optional, Pastor Nally. But if you're an evening person, you like your sleep. How many of you like your sleep? Hallelujah. These are my people right here too. And so, you know, can you imagine a friend comes in? If you are not a morning person, walks into your house or knocks on your door, kang, 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 or calls you up at like 6:30 in the morning. Hello, Adrian, how are you? Oh, the Lord gave me a word for you. Oh, God bless you. I'm like, you're the hell out of my house. You know, your hair is looking like Tina Turner. Your pajamas are now sideways. The buttons are here because you just got out of bed. And you are walking out. Are you serious? If you are really my friend, now is not the time. Do we understand about carefulness now? Okay, you know the ebbs and flows. You are considerate about your friendship with other people. You know how to flow with those friends. You know when, and you're sensitive of the needs of those friends. A friend doesn't need to be told what's right and what's wrong. A friend doesn't come like an inconvenient time and say, is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? I'm just trying to help you out. Because you may have a friend that is like this. Proverbs 25 verse 20 says, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart, it's like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. What do you mean? Oh, well, it's, you know, like you're going through some rough times. And sometimes the worst thing that you can experience is somebody singing a happy song around you. Can I get a witness? I'm just reading the Bible, guys, all right? This is what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying that sometimes when you're going through hardship and hard times, in those hardships, you know, God wants you to be sensitive to what is required at that time. That's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit in your friendship. You know, like if Helen's going through a hard time, and then I come up, and if our God is for us, then who can? She'll be like, and if our God, you know, you got to be sensitive. That's where carefulness comes in. Because am I the only one that feels this way? Some of you are looking at me like, Pastor Nelly, I would receive that in my time of hardship. Well, I'm sorry, you're more spiritual than me. But But it's in the Bible. I'm here to tell you that even Solomon in his ultimate wisdom knows that it is a time to be sensitive and to be careful in friendship, knowing the ebbs and flows of friendship. And it's the same with lost people, people that don't know Christ, especially people that don't know Christ. As you're trying to establish friendship and relationship with them, sometimes it's wrong to be the Christian version of Barney the dinosaur in front of them. Oh, your auntie died. Dum-de-doo. I love you. You love me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But sometimes us Christians are so tied to methods that we aren't spirit-led in our friendships and aren't careful in the way that we operate within those friendships. It's important to be led by the Spirit in our operation within friendships. Is this helping anybody in here today? Okay, we're just reading the Bibles. These aren't my opinions. Talk to Solomon when we get to heaven. I'm just saying. Okay? Candor. Again, candor is truth-telling. This is where it gets a bit hardcore. Norman, I'm getting ready for this one. Candor, okay? Candor means truth-telling. True friends are willing to tell the truth. Okay? True friends, real friends. They're careful, but they also know the time that God's calling them to tell you the truth. True friends are accurate mirrors. True friends will sit you down and tell you, you know what? You gossip too much. You talk too much about other people. And you're not in a position to help them. So you need to shh your mouth. I love you. That's a true friend, right? But they won't do it in front of everybody. But they'll pull you aside and take you aside and sit you down and say, hey, you've got something in your eye or you've got something in your teeth, spiritually speaking, and help you because they want to help you out. If you don't have friends like that, you're in a very dangerous place, actually. And for those of us who are married in this room, you know, it's important that we don't dull our ears to the voice of our spouse when the him or the her is able to speak to those things in our lives, because they are the most accurate mirror that God has given us. For those of you who are single, that needs to be one of the qualities in the person that you marry. Because they, you know, remember when you start in that courtship relationship, you're always dating or courting the representative. But as the guard comes down, you better be ready. Start to see what really goes on. The breath smells a little different. Rexona bottle was left at home. I mean, you start seeing things, you start smelling things, and you start, okay, we're just real now. And then you start to notice the differences, you know? Like, they were at their best, but now they've learned to trust you, so they can let their guard down a bit. And you're like, like cracking the window down. And you're like, yeah. You can see as the limo window comes down that was tinted, you begin to see the dragon eyes come out, you know? Before they were all like, oh, you know, can I make you a meal? Oh, yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, whatever you want, I'll make you a meal. That's great. Yeah, I'll add the extra. And then, you know, you get married and, oh, would you like something to eat? Get it yourself. That's my friend. It's my friend. Pray for my friend. My marriage is awesome. Pray for my friend. He needs help. Seriously, my marriage is not like that. Some of you are looking at me like, ha 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 ha. He's supposed to be our pastor. No, seriously, we're good. I'm just using examples, all right? Candor. Proverbs 25, verses 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Now, there's purposefully there from, and this is a part of, this is a device used often in Hebrew poetry, where there is a dichotomy, there's oxymoron, there's a contrast between one part of the stanza and the other part. So when it talks about wounds of a friend, like you get wounds from a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Well, who took the kiss of an enemy? Jesus Christ himself. But the wounds of a friend are those which actually help you. I'd rather a friend wound me than find out that my whole arm needs to be cut off because I didn't listen to the warning of my faithful friend. And so you got to understand those friends who are in your life that actually rub you the wrong way at times, but you've let them into your heart because God's given you the gift of that sister or that brother. Thank God for those friends. Like true biblical friendship, you'll actually walk through some times of adversity where you have to face those things. And the way you can tell they're a true friend is if you speak to those issues in their life or they speak to your issues, that you're still walking together. You stick around. Friends, remember, friends are born for adversity. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net before his feet. Let me tell you, you know, and building friendships with other Christians, especially if you are just in it for the flattery or in it to flatter others. Oh man, you look great, you look good, and all of that. And all your friendships, and I'm a firm believer in being positive, but like if you're desiring to build a deeper friendship and yet you operate on this level of flattery and never go deep, you're actually dismissing the opportunity to receive the gift of that friendship. And you spread a net before your feet if you just live in the level of flattery for the rest of your life. This is the last aspect of it. Counsel. Counsel. What do I mean by counsel? I've basically unraveled it already. Proverbs 27 verse 9, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Now, you've got to understand, when it talks about this biblical model of what counsel is, it's two-way. It's two-way. You are both open to giving the counsel, and you're open to receiving the counsel. Some of the best friendships I have on this planet are with men that have access to my life and can speak to issues in my life, as well as I have the opportunity to speak into their lives. Why? Because through the test of time. And I have friendships that are like go for 10, 15, 20 years now, and we've walked together. We've walked through a lot of things. You know, one of my longtime friendships is with this man here, with Norman Asawa. And, you know, we've known each other for 15 years and we've walked through some stuff. We've walked through some stuff together. And that's why I know he's a brother that I'll have to the end. Same thing with Tua over here. Like, we've walked through a long period of time where we've had to confront one another on different things. And I've had to apologize to both of these brothers at certain points in our walk because of certain things that I've done. But we're still walking. We're still sticking it out. And that's the sort of friendship and relationship that God wants to establish his church on. And my point is, you know, like, that's what the world needs, and it needs to be modeled with how we learn to walk together. Now, I'm not saying trust everybody, but God is going to bring certain people into your life that when the opportunity comes, not only should you be open to them, because it needs to be two-way. Understand this. When God brings these relationships into your life, you shouldn't feel like you're the only one speaking into their life. Now, there's a place for that. There's a place for mentoring and discipleship where you're pouring into the life of somebody who's younger and on the come up. And there's also the place where you are the sole recipient of a relationship through somebody who's mentoring you. I'm not speaking about those relationships. But what I'm speaking about are the peer-friend relationships where it's two-way. And this is what Solomon's talking about here, is that God desires for us to... Once there are opportunities to trust, as the Holy Spirit leads us, we begin to open our hearts. And as we open up our hearts, we also have the opportunity to speak into their lives as they open up their hearts. And so it's a two-way counsel. It's reciprocal. And that's the beauty of a biblical friendship, where that happens. Are you with me? Is that cool? That's something we should all be praying for. And I can understand the issues that we deal with, because from time to time, we've opened up our hearts to trust, and the trust has been abused. And so we choose, we make inner vows, which therefore destroy the opportunity for God-shaped friendships in the future, which says, I'll never trust again. And so we operate on the level of just mere politeness and surface friendship. And it's more of an acquaintance rather than a depth of friendship. Again, I say, you're not called to be that sort of friend with everybody, but there are certain people that God has brought into your path to go deep with. But what's holding you back is a trust. And that trust is not to be given naively, but it's to be led by the Holy Spirit. And ask God, is this the friend you want me to trust? Is this the friend you want me to speak into their life? And a good way to tell is, like, go through some adversity. Oh, but Pastor Nelly, I don't want to go through adversity. Well, that's the best way to test a friendship. Is an ability to actually go in, go hard, and disagree on certain things and still walk together. It can be as menial as something like the favor of a rugby team to actually disagreeing on a certain point of execution of your faith, and yet you still walk together. Or if I give advice, and maybe my advice is not seen as the best advice that I can give to somebody, but I have done my job to bring canter, and they have not received it, I need to be okay with the fact that I've done it, and we're still going to walk together. And they need to be okay with well, I'm going to take responsibility for not receiving that cancer, but we're still going to walk together. Are you with me today? Because that's the sort of friendship that God requires when he's talking about walking together the way Christ wants us to. And that's what's amazing. When you look in scripture, in John chapter 15, which is where I want to close today, Jesus actually calls us into this sort of friendship, to walk with him this way. Have you ever thought about that? He says, I no longer call you my servants, but I call you my friends. And greater love has no man. This is in John 15. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. That's friendship. Like when you get deep in friendship, you're willing to just, you know, put it all out there and lay your life down and say, you know what? If anything goes wrong, I'll gladly take a bullet for you. Now that sort of friendship is not built overnight. It's built over time, through adversity, proven in character. But the important thing is that you're growing together. You see, if I'm not growing and Norm is growing and he desires to pursue God, then I can't be that friend to him, because we'd be yoked together, but he needs to go. And so that yoke needs to be broken. So I'm also bound to him, and I'm also bound to Tour. I'm also bound to guys like Alex as well, that we need to grow together and go together. That as we're going together in our growth towards God and what God has for us, that we go and graduate and build those friendships to walk together with what God has for us. That's the sort of friendship you want. You want friendship with people that are actually growing and going in what God has called them. Don't be fooled, because there are people, and our church is too young to see this happen yet. And I say the word yet, but I'm warning you. We just celebrated 3 years on the 23rd. Of September this month, this last week. 3 years this church has been in existence. Happy birthday to us. But here's the thing, guys. As we grow in God, my prayer as your pastor is that we don't have anybody left behind. Like, we are in this environment, this hotbed of growth in discipleship, that if you've been around 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, you're actually still growing. Because in so many churches where there's been a bit more establishment, there's been people, just because they've been around a lot longer, claiming to be more mature. You don't want to yoke with those sorts of people. I'll just tell you that as your pastor. You want to yoke with people that are growing and going somewhere. I'd rather be yoked to somebody like Helios, who's younger than me in the Lord, but he's going and he's growing, than somebody who's been in the Lord for 20 years and been in the church for 30 years and still hasn't done jack for Jesus, hasn't told anybody about their faith because it's so secret even they don't know it. I'd rather walk with people that are growing and going than people who are just going to be pew warmers. And to be honest with you, I think Every Nation Brisbane, as we grow and go in God, it's going to be offensive to those who want to sit in the pews anyway. They'll say, oh, you know, I was going to help you out, but I'll help myself out. It's okay. Friendship. That's one of the values we want to see in this church, is, you know, as a part of spiritual family, is that level of friendship in our lives. And I know we're a young church. I know we're still growing. But my prayer is that, you know, as you learn to trust God, as you learn to trust the people that God puts around your life, that you'll begin to open your heart to whoever it is God brings your way. I'm not saying that you need to build that with me necessarily, just because positionally I'm the leader. And in a culture of discipleship, ultimately we want to raise leaders up who are empowered, so you learn to trust them. But understand that we're not all Jesus. We are going to fail sometimes. But his mercy remains, his grace remains, and this is a gospel-centered church. And so as long as we're committed to building and establishing those sorts of friendships, I'm here to tell you today that we're going to be a strong church that will last and outlast a lot longer than me. And I'm okay with that. Let's close this out. Ah, one of my favorite friendship verses in the whole Bible. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. It's funny, eh, because like, this is a verse that's often used in men's ministry, is iron sharpens iron, because it sounds like a gym dropping plates. Clang, clang. But have you noticed that one of my most annoying noises in the world is iron sharpening iron? Ding, 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 like sparks flying and all that sort of stuff. That's really what biblical friendship, what happens when biblical friendship happens. It's like, there's like sparks flying everywhere, and there's a lot of metal clanging and all of that sort of stuff. But that's biblical friendship. Iron sharpens iron. Do you have an iron sharpening your iron in your life? Or you got a bunch of marshmallows around you that oh yes, we love you, we care about you. Then hardship goes, where are they gone? Where are they gone? Where do you go? We've already finished this. Let's stand to your feet. Let's close this in prayer.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.